today is found in the 7th chapter of the book of Exodus, and likewise in the 12th chapter. I'm going to speak to you about the first plague and the last plague that God sent upon the Egyptians. We find in the 7th chapter that God commanded Moses and Aaron to speak unto Pharaoh. He said, I have made thee a god unto Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet, and thou shalt speak unto Pharaoh all that I command thee. This then was what God made Moses. He would then be the mouthpiece of God. God would speak to Moses, and Moses in likewise would speak to Aaron, and Aaron would have to speak unto Pharaoh. God then was going to use these two men to proclaim unto Pharaoh what he was going to do in the land of Egypt, and how that he would show them that he was the Lord. These men then, they were compelled by God to go before Pharaoh and speak to him in his name. And Pharaoh, he would be such a creature that he would not listen. God said, I have hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he will not hearken. Now, God never hardens anyone's heart. It means here that God would leave Pharaoh over to his natural self, to his hardness of heart, that he would make no impression upon his heart and leave him in this state in which he was. This was told already to Moses and Aaron before that they even went in unto Pharaoh, so that they could expect that Pharaoh would not listen and would not hearken to them. Moses and Aaron then were obedient unto God. And God said unto them that when they went in unto Pharaoh, if he should ask for a miracle, then they should take the rod with them and cast this rod down before Pharaoh, and it would become a serpent. Most likely he will ask you to perform such a miracle to prove that ye are sent from God. Otherwise, he will not believe it. These two men then went in and did as God had commanded them. This Pharaoh, he questioned them and asked them to show that they were men that were sent by God. And we find that Aaron took the rod and he cast this rod down before Pharaoh, and it became a serpent, a living serpent, a large serpent. Pharaoh and his servants were greatly afraid of this serpent. This was a miracle performed by God himself. And now, Egypt was noted for the magicians that they had in them, in this land. They believed in these creatures that could do acts of wonder that other human beings could not do. There were those that could tell where certain goods were that were lost. There were those that could divulge secrets which no other one knew. And people in Egypt, they adhered to these magicians. And there were many of such in Egypt. And now Pharaoh, when he seen this miracle being performed, he thought that Aaron and Moses were exceptional magicians, that this was only by their skill that they had been taught this and were able to do this. So he sent for his magicians. Several were brought before him that were renowned in this special art. Two we have an account of in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. We read of Jannes and Jambres, who withstood Moses. They were called by Pharaoh, who he thought would contend with Moses and Aaron in this ark. And when these magicians were called, they came with their rods. And they cast down their rods before Pharaoh and his servants and before Moses and Aaron, and their rods became serpents also. But Aaron's rod, which had become a serpent, ate up all the serpents that came forth out of the rods of the magicians. Now, this is something that is remarkable when you consider that these magicians did the very same thing that Moses and Aaron did. Pharaoh's mind was of this sort, that he was looking for a pretense so that this miracle that he had seen done before him would have no way of making him allow the children of Israel to depart out of Egypt. He was looking for an excuse, and this was the excuse that he could use now, that these magicians did the very same thing as Moses and Aaron did. They weren't any better than his. Now, who made the rods of these magicians change into serpents? Some think that these magicians, they brought serpents along with them. And when they cast down the rod, instead of casting down the rod, they let the serpent fly down on the ground. And they concealed the rod. Others think that it was the power of the devil that was there, and he caused these rods to become serpents. But those that have a high estimation for the scripture and who believe that it is of divine interpretation, they say that could not be. God is the creator of all beings, and even of serpents. And now, these rods of these magicians, when they were cast down and made into serpents, it was God that caused this to be done, for the simple reason that Pharaoh would harden his heart under this reason that he seen before him. God then permitted this to take place. But now, Aaron's rod, or his serpent, consumed all the serpents that these magicians brought forth. And now Aaron's serpent returned back to a rod, but their rods were not to be found. They had been consumed by the serpent that came forth out of Aaron's rod. This was proof enough that it was from God. If Pharaoh had but believed this, then he would have seen the hand of God in this. But he refused to see this, his mind being biased. Therefore, he hearkened not unto what these men, Aaron and Moses, asked him to do. And now we find that his heart still was hardened, and God came to Aaron and Moses again, and said unto Moses, go to the river's brink until Pharaoh comes there, for in the morning he will come there, and speak unto him, and say unto him, the God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto you. Hitherto thou hast refused to let my people go. If thou dost not let my people go, then I will stretch my rod out over this river, and it shall become blood. And all the waters in Egypt shall become blood, and the fish in the river shall die, and the river shall stink. This was what God told Moses to speak unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh was accustomed to come every morning to the River Nile. This River Nile was actually a god unto the people of Egypt. They were very dependent upon this river. When it overflowed its banks, then this silt that came along with this water made the ground very fertile, and they depended upon this river to fertilize the ground so that they would have a wonderful crop. And they likewise worshipped the river, but not the source of this river, who was God. They made this river their God. And whenever we make anything an idol, and we make a god of it, then we can expect either God to remove it or to make that idol bitter unto us. This is what God was going to do with this river, the Nile. This river, likewise, when it overflowed its banks, then the people would gather the water that came over its banks and put it in cisterns and put it in places so that when it receded again, they had water. They likewise built large reservoirs where they transported even the water to, so that when they had not this water overflowing the banks, they had a resource. This water that was in this river, it was very delicious to drink. So delicious that it was even sold throughout all the Levant, which means all the countries on the border of the sea that was by Palestine, that was by Greece, and that was round about Egypt. These people bought this water to drink because it was so good. It's written in the commentary that the Turks, they excited their thirst to drink this water by eating salt. They like to drink this water so much. One of the sons of the editor of the commentary, Matthew Henry, rode down this river with a boat, and the river was discolored. It was muddy looking. He took a handful of the water and drank it, and he says he never drank such delicious water as that. Now you can imagine that these people, they worshipped this river, likewise Pharaoh. And now God promised that if he did not let the people of Israel go, then he would strike the river. Pharaoh gave no ear unto this. So Moses and Aaron were called, and God said, tell Aaron to stretch out his rod over the river, and it shall become blood. Aaron took this wonderful rod and stretched it out over the river, and the river became all blood. Not only the river, but all the streams and rivulets and all the places where they had this water stored, it all became blood. Now, there's nothing so common as water. And water is a necessity. But now the Egyptians would have to drink blood or otherwise die of thirst. There was nothing else to drink. This was an awful thing. And God struck at this for this reason, to show that he was God, that he was the Lord, that not the River Nile was a god. And now, the people, of course, they made a livelihood on fishing. Many of the Egyptians labored in this craft, and all the fish in the river died. Egypt was noted likewise that they ate a lot of fish. Even the Israelites, after they had left Egypt, they even said, "We remember the fish, the cucumbers, and the onions that we ate in the land of Egypt." But now there was no fish to eat. All the fish died. This was a terrible thing for the Egyptians. They looked and everything was blood. You know, before this, Pharaoh had likewise called upon the Egyptians and the children of Israel to cast their children into the Nile. He stained this river with the blood of these children. But now God made it all bloody. But this was a judgment of God upon them. Nobody had any water to drink. But what did Pharaoh do? He called for the magicians and the wise men and the sorcerers. And they came. And they likewise stretched their rods out. And wherever they stretched their rods out, that water became blood. You would say, well, where was this water? How could they find some water yet? Whatever little water was left, this was yet changed into blood, God permitting this to take place. But these magicians, they did not stretch out their rods over the River Nile and clear up the blood, take the plague away, but they added more to it. This teaches us likewise that the devil, who is the instrument of hatred and who is seeking to destroy all mankind, has no kindness and no comfort in whatever he does. The devil likewise, he did not give these magicians that power that they could clear the water. The devil is seeking to destroy all mankind, if possible. And therefore, he let them do this, we would say, that he even added to the misery that was being done in the land of Egypt by the hand of God. And now Pharaoh, when he saw this, he hardened his heart still more, and he refused to let Israel go. Pharaoh, then, is a type of each and every one of us, my hearers, irrespective of what judgments God may bring upon you in this life, and I hope he don't bring any on you. But we are in his hands. He can strike us in a moment. There are all sorts of diseases. There are all sorts of accidents that we are subject to. And we are subject even to death itself. And now many poor creatures suffer the rest of their life through many infirmities that God lays upon them. And that we have them not, we should be thankful unto God. But God would be just if he did bring them upon us. Righteous is he in visiting us for our sins. But these things that God brings upon mankind never lead to salvation. Unless he comes in with his spirit and sanctifies it to their hearts, it usually leads to hardness of heart, to rebelliousness, to dissatisfaction, to grumbling and complaining. This is the nature that every one of us have. In fact, instead of softening our hearts and making them repentant, we become hardened, indifferent, and careless. Just as Pharaoh's heart was hardened, it became so hard and so unfeeling and so careless about even the people who he ruled over that he refused to hearken. And now 7 days went by that this river was smitten, and there was no water but blood throughout the land of Egypt. And now the Egyptians, they began to dig. They began to dig in the ground to find water to drink. And God, in his mercy, let them find some. In the midst of his wrath and his judgment, he still showed mercy to these Egyptians. And they were given yet to find some water. How good is God, yet even in the midst of all what he brings upon mankind, his mercies are new every morning. For we find then that this chapter teaches us that where these serpents were swallowed up by Aaron's rod, Christ in heaven above will likewise consume the devil and all his angels by the breath of his mouth. He will trample upon them, and he will destroy them, for he has all power and might to do so. In this Aaron and this rod was a type of Christ Jesus. Oh, that he would likewise come into our hearts and deliver us from that devil that sits in our hearts. For he reigns in each and every one of us by nature. He is that strong man armed whom we cannot dispossess, but a stronger one than he must come. And may he deliver us by the breath of his mouth, by his precious word, by his spirit, from this evil spirit which we all have dwelling in us by nature. This blood then was a type likewise of what will take place in the great day of judgment. Oh, many cities already have experienced bloodbaths. Jerusalem itself, right after Christ ascended to heaven, the blood of the Jewish people ran down the streets of Jerusalem. Oh, in the time of Hitler, so many of those poor Jewish people were murdered right and left. The blood run down the streets in Germany from these poor people. Oh, blood, my hearers, is an awful sight. To see it even, one abhors it. But there is one blood that has been shed by our precious Jesus, which cleanses from all sin, which washes perfectly clean. May you and I be given a hunger and a thirst after this precious blood. Now we turn now to the last plague. Now the lesson today is about God instituting the Passover and delivering the children of Israel out of the hands of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. In this chapter, we have God likewise coming to Aaron and to Moses, and speaking unto them and saying unto them, say ye unto the congregation of Israel, this month shall be the beginning of the year for you. For on the 10th day of this month, thou shalt take a lamb, and thou shalt keep it unto the 14th day of the month, and upon the 14th day of the month in the evening, thou shalt slay it. God here then changed the year for the Jews. Their new year was in the middle of September. But now God came to them and began a new calendar for them. Their year was to begin in the middle of March. This was the beginning of a new year to the Jews. If I'm not mistaken, still the Jews observe New Year in the middle of September.